This is Pure Decking for Thursday, January the 23rd, 2014. I believe this is currently the year of the spider. This is the show about stuff that interests me. Welcome to Dystopia. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Sard. Sard, what are you drinking?
Shot Top Honeycrisp Applewheat.
That's a different one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Yep. We have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
Shot Top Pumpkin Wheat.
I'm seeing a trend. Are you? What brand of Shot Top? What kind of Shot Top are you drinking?
Tourette's inducing black coffee.
Ah, very cool. And I've actually do not have Shot Top. It is Frock of Lord. How the hell do you say this? Frock, which is Heather Ale. I actually bought it for Let's Get Drunk. I thought I'd go ahead and try some of it tonight. I'm not entirely sure if I like this or not.
Is it noticeably different from hops?
Not at first. There's definitely not as much bitter to it, but it's got a little bit of an aftertaste I'm not terribly fond of.
Huh.
So,
I think I'm getting some Heather beer also just to try it out.
But anyways, just a little bit of station news. We've started posting the shows up on Mediafire instead of on a regular web host, which this has apparently broken our RSS feeds. I'm looking at it. I'm not quite sure how to fix that, but I may just say screw the RSS feeds, truthfully. I don't know. Use feedback form. Let me know if anybody actually uses RSS feeds off of the site, because if they do, I might figure out a different hosting solution. Other than Mediafire, there was another one I was looking at that wouldn't be as easy to deal with, but it's more geared towards podcasts, and I've used it before, so I know it's good. So I might look into that if it's a big enough deal. So, hell, let's get right into it. I'm assuming everyone has seen the story. Dear subscriber, you are registered as a participant in a mass disturbance. From the Ukrainian protests.
Yep.
Great text. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
I mean, I wasn't kidding when I said "Welcome to Dystopia" at the opening of the show. So the text message was sent out to thousands of Ukrainian protesters spontaneously. They all received it on their cell phones. I believe actually yesterday. As a new law prohibiting public demonstrations went into effect, it was the regime's police force sending protesters the perfectly dystopian text message to accompany the newly minted perfectly dystopian legislation. In fact, it's downright Orwellian. The New York Times reports that Ukrainian government used telephone technology to pinpoint the locations of cell phones in use near clashes between riot police officers and protesters early on Tuesday. Near. Using a cell phone near a clash lands you on the regime's hit list. So what they did was if your cell phone was on the tower or towers near where people were protesting, you got flagged and you probably got the text message.
But I was just at work. I was beating all those nice protesters for you. I'm a cop.
Well, I'd assume they're checking that list. But Euronews had an interview with one of their reporters was on the scene, and the whole quote she had is they were talking about the plan with the protesters, that the plan is to stay and continue the protest as demonstration goes on by day as well as by night. The number of injured is constantly increasing. Medical volunteers help people on the spot. Many also go to see a doctor at hospital. Protesters' injuries are diverse. There are injuries from stun grenades, rubber bullets. In the aftermath of recent clashes, some people have had to have eye surgery. Now, here's the fun part. There's also information about people disappearing from hospitals. Their friends and relatives are looking for them. And that's it. The report just kind of... It's like, oh, yeah, people are disappearing, and that's it. They don't even question that. They just kind of keep going on it.
The cops are stealing people that are critically injured.
And they've identified them using their fucking cell phone because everybody was carrying their cell phone to film it for YouTube when they were protesting the Ukrainian government.
But there's one thing that we all noticed and pointed out a couple of days ago. The lack of the youth out on the street right now. This is more elderly men and middle-aged men.
Yeah, they're people that lived under communism once and don't want to go back to it.
Exactly. They know what's coming down the pipe politically.
Like, we're moving towards a regime where they'll drag me out in the middle of the night and put a bullet in me. I need to stop this now.
Yeah.
I went to hospital. Timmy disappeared. Where did Timmy go? Don't know.
You know? Timmy wasn't here. What are you talking about? He didn't sign the signing log.
Yeah, you've never heard Timmy. That's definitely not Timmy's blood on the sheets in the trash can. Now, but yeah, they're using people's cell phones to identify you as a protester. And that's brilliant, and it's also horrifying because how many people would think, you know, I'm going to go do something my government probably doesn't like. I probably better not carry my tracking device.
Right. Or, I mean, your cell phone, I think, is going to become more like your credit card. You just don't, you know, you don't let your friends borrow your credit card because now it's going to be the same way with your cell phone, apparently. Because, yeah. You know, what if you let your friend borrow your cell phone? He went on this riot. Well, now you're labeled, you know, as
now,
a rioter,
now you're labeled and you're going to disappear from the hospital next time you go in for tonsils.
Right.
It's just...
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you say
they're
that, Sod.
They're going to
deny
you. Can I
have my card back?
No, I need it for stuff.
Well, you think about it. If they're going to start black bagging people, what an easier way to generate your lists.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. And think in the U.S., your cell phone records, they don't need a warrant for.
Yeah.
So we could start doing this for, you know, the next L.A. riots.
Next 99% rally. The next, say, Tea Party rally.
Yeah, anybody who's sufficiently pissing off the government.
Yeah.
Are they completely sure that it was the police force that was actually sent out that text?
Wouldn't that be just claim they did?
Oh, okay. I was just thinking, like, what if someone actually hacked it and sent out this mass text just to freak
just
people the fuck out?
And...
Oh, yeah. That would be an ultimate troll.
Ultimate troll.
I would buy that man troll. A bridge. It's like, sir, you need a bridge.
Here, go live under this. Oh, hell.
I'm surprised no one's following up on the people are disappearing from a hospital after the cops said go away.
All I could find on it was the one line in this Euronews interview. And it's just like, oh, yeah, and people are disappearing and their relatives are looking for them. Next story. Wait a minute.
I know why any reporter in country is glazing over this. Because they know they'll be black bagged and shot. But... those two lines, every reporter not in the country should be asking these questions. They won't be able to answer any of them because they'll be black bagged and shot. But they should be asking them.
Nope.
Look, I have an ocean between me and this country. Why the fuck are the cops stealing people from hospitals?
Don't worry about it, man. It's all part of our new plan to make the country green and economically viable. In the future, under this heavy-fisted reign, you will learn to love this government.
Don't ask where the fertilizer comes from.
All
for green injury,
mix.
Are we just putting people on treadmills?
That's my favorite brand of potting mix, Pol Pot potting mix.
So, just some recommendations. If you're going to go protest your government... you probably want to have like a prepaid burner phone registered in a fake name and probably a fake ID or just no phone and no ID. And of course, you know, you know exactly why a lot of people have their phone. It's like, well, I've got to be able to take my pictures so I can post them up on Twitter and tell people what's happening. You can get cameras that are not attached to phones. I know that's blasphemy and I know most people don't understand this, but you can actually get video and still cameras that don't have a cell phone in them.
Has Sant been laid? He can go in and buy a prepaid smartphone if you just can't do without it. I know it's a lot of money to waste on a burner phone, but Hassan bin Laden doesn't care.
So
why not just a burner SIM card?
Yeah, I mean, just something so that it's not... You don't want the giant radio on your hip to be...
to be linked to your actual name in any way, yeah. Shape, or form.
Well, Psychros is saying that they've got apps for your phone that gives you the big button to push when you're being arrested that sends out, like, the notice on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. But, yeah, you still want to carry... Okay, fine, you need a smartphone. Fine. Get one that's in somebody else's name. It's just not...
All I can think of is, you know, you have your phone with that app with the big red button to send everything out. The only message I would send out, if I had to use that, would be, help, help, I'm being oppressed.
I don't know, Psychros has a good suggestion. The Gather Bail Money For Me app. It's not bail money, it's the Ukraine. It's burial money.
So... Yeah, I just love this that they're actually using cell phones to track down the protesters, and you know, if there's this off, it's hard enough to get news out of an area like that right now with all everything going on, but just that one mention that, oh yeah, and people are disappearing, huh? Nobody else has put two and two together here.
It's just similar to that story of, like, there's going to be a huge bacon shortage in America. You know, 10,000 pigs died yesterday from a mystery virus. But there's going to be a bacon shortage. Yeah, think the pig virus would be your number one story there.
Yeah.
Hey, my BLT in the morning is important. bacon, yes.
Just saying, man. You know, dying pigs mystery illness should be your number one priority as a news anchor.
It's not like they have anything related to humans. It's not like we use them for medical experimentation because of how closely they are genetically to us. And they're pigs. We come from apes.
But you see, we can't talk about any of this stuff because we need to have the 24-hour live Justin Bieber is being a douchebag coverage. And I mean, literally, that's all that's been in the news.
Am I the last one to find this out? I must be.
The news is a joke anymore. It's not. They don't tell you anything of what's going on. They just like, you know, ooh, look at the puppet. So.
You need to hit more American news sites, are you? Like you said, it was all over this morning.
Yeah, so. If you want actual news in America, you have to be watching, like, economics news. Or find something that does specialty political news, because a generic news show, you get some decent stories, but most of it is crap.
Well, yeah. I know they didn't cover it on CCTV this morning, or Al Jazeera. These are the only two stations I watched, so when I was having my coffee, bacon, and eggs.
Has anyone checked out Al Jazeera America yet?
No, don't go near it. Don't go near it. Abort, abort, abort.
I was about to key it into a search program here.
Oh, God.
Are you using Chrome or Firefox? Because it may be too late.
It may be too late.
If you're using Chrome, it's too late. I'm sorry. Because Google tries to search ahead for you, and which means anything you type into the box goes to them the moment you press the button.
That's so nice of them.
So, anyways,
I wonder how many other governments are going to adopt this.
Like, what, tracking people with their phones? Riot? I wouldn't be surprised to see any first world country that starts having political movements like this that could potentially be violent or upset government functioning and start using it.
Our regime is already targeting its political adversaries.
True, but it's not exactly going after.
It's not going after individuals yet. It's going after groups.
Groups, yeah.
And it's using the IRS.
We've got the police cars here outfitted with the recognition cameras on them for number plates, and already the entire data bank has been requested by a law firm. To track the movements of one of their clients who's suing their former wife for cheating.
Lovely.
Oh.
So,
I need to know, was my wife at this address getting banged by some other dude?
Or was she on the way to that address? You know, did you have a camera, a CCTV camera here or there, you know, so I can figure that out. So, yeah, it's already being used. It's just different ways the law's going to use it.
Great. Well, hell, we're already being tracked with it here. It's just they're not using it to send out ominous text messages.
Yet.
Well, if I ever get a job at the NSA, the random text messages people are going to get. It's like,
welcome to dystopia, kids. Enjoy
yes, we can read your thoughts using your phalanx. Pull out all your teeth today.
Okay, we know that the cafeteria menu has been broadcast out, and a few of you may have been receiving it on your fillings. We haven't been able to narrow it down, so this is a wideband message. Oh, God. Fueling the paranoia of, well, me. Anyways, let's go ahead and get on to news stories here. First one up is from Reuters. It's actually, this story's all over the place, but I like the Reuters write-up the best. Video game maker King, creator of Candy Crush Saga, a game that has millions of fans around the world, said on Tuesday that it has trademarked the word candy to protect the game from persistent intellectual property infringements. Created in 2003, King has experienced an explosion in popularity since launching on Facebook in 2011 with its Saga games, which players move through a competitive landscape and pass their friends on the way. Candy Crush Saga was the top downloaded free app for 2013 and this year's top revenue-grossing app. It has been downloaded more than 500 million times since its launch in 2012. The company now says it wants to protect the game title from imitators, also using the word candy. It also has obtained a trademark from the European Union, which will not only apply to computer games, but to other areas, such as clothes and footwear. And the European Commission's trademark Commission's trademark office told Reuters, "We don't enforce against all uses of candy. Some are legitimate, and of course, we would not ask app developers who use the term legitimately to stop doing so." So, here's the thing. That's the story from Reuters. The story from Reuters is an ad for this company, basically telling people, go buy stock now. Because every other article about this is how all of these app makers who had the word candy in their title, even if it had nothing to do with the same style of game as Candy Crush Saga, were getting takedown notices.
Wow.
What about Candyland and any song lyrics with, I don't know, I want candy in them?
Well, it's trademark. It's not copyright. So, yeah, they pretty much can shut down anyone who happens to use the word candy in their title, or in, I guess, depending on how much they pursue the trademark in any promotional material for the game. So, and there are tons of app developers who've already gotten takedowns from this. So that whole line about how they're not going after apps that don't, you know, infringe on it, yeah, it's bullshit. They're going after everybody.
So,
and of course,
the developers of Candy Crush should be set on fire.
Well, why should we be mad at them? Shouldn't we be mad at the patent
office? At the trademark office for letting them have it,
yes. Yeah, that let them patent candy? The fuck is wrong with them?
That would be what you call a BJ deal. Somebody got a BJ, and somebody else got a deal.
Apparently.
So, yeah, so app makers, stay away from that word, I guess.
So if Milton Bradley wanted to do an app of Candyland, they're now screwed. Even though
possibly.
Candyland's
well, Milton
older.
Milton Bradley's got enough money to basically pay them to go away. But
oh, they wouldn't pay them to go away. It'd be countersuing. I want somebody to go on a sue bomb and just completely destroy the patent system and the trademark system in every country.
Newegg is trying with some of the copyright trolling.
Yeah.
So
if this keeps up, we're going to have every single freaking word is going to be copywritten. But then you're going to have to come out, look, check out my newest app. It's called AAFFGG. And, you know, until someone copyrights that, and then it'll be AAFFGGZZ. You know, it's...
You'll have newspeak.
Yeah, retarded.
Yeah. We quit naming apps due to trademark infringement. This is application 143.
I don't think you're far off, Morps.
So...
Oh, we got to come up with, we have to pull up the Borg numbering system now.
Yeah. App 8 of 4. Wait, that's probably backwards. I don't remember. It's been a little while since I've seen that shit. Let's see. Next story up is from Torrent Freak. Mass BitTorrent lawsuits have been dragging on for years in the U.S., involving hundreds of thousands of alleged downloaders. The copyright holders who start these cases generally provide nothing more than an IP address as evidence. They then ask the courts to grant a subpoena, allowing them to force internet providers to hand over the personal details associated with the account holder. The problem, however, is that the person listed on the account holder, or as the account holder, is often not the person who's downloading the infringing material. Or put differently, an IP address alone can't identify a movie pirate. Judges who handled similar cases in the past have made observations along the same lines, and now Washington District Judge Robert Lansick has added his opinion, ruling that IP address-only evidence fails to meet pleading standards required to pursue copyright infringement. The case in question involves the makers of the movie Elf Man, who sued hundreds of people for being involved with pirating their film using BitTorrent. The studio alleges that IP addresses assigned to each defendant was monitored sharing a pirated version of the film. More specifically, the complaint alleges that the defendants either A, downloaded the pirated film themselves, or B, permitted, facilitated, or promoted the use of their internet connections by others to download the film. While the above may be accurate in some cases, it's not good enough for copyright infringement claims. Ruling on a motion to dismiss filed on behalf of the defendants, Judge Lansick notes that Part B is not a valid claim. The movie studio has actually alleged no more than that the named defendants purchased internet access and failed to ensure that others did not use that access to download copyrighted material, Lansick states. In other words, the complaint itself states that the account holder may not be the person downloading the movie, which is not enough to pursue the case. Simply identifying the account holder associated with an IP address tells us very little about who actually downloaded Elfman using that IP address, Judge Lansick writes. While it's possible that the subscriber is the one participating in the BitTorrent swarm, it's also possible that a family member, guest, or freeloader is engaged in the infringing conduct, he added. As a result, the defendant's motion to dismiss was granted because the movie studio failed to state a claim for direct copyright infringement, contributory infringement, or indirect infringement. The copyright holder is allowed to file an updated complaint, but doubts that the movie studio will be able to make a valid claim. The ruling is crucial as it confirms that an IP address is not enough evidence in these cases and that the account holders are not legally responsible, per se, for others who may pirate on their connection, or at least that an IP address alone is not enough to launch a copyright infringement lawsuit. As noted by troll watcher SJD, the order is a win for many people involved in similar cases. This is another nail and a pretty sharp one in the coffin of copyright trolling, she writes. Elfman's main star, Jason Acuna, probably won't mind the outcome as he previously distanced himself from the lawsuits in question. I'm not backing it at all. It has nothing to do with me. It's all of them, he wrote on Twitter. So the actor's like, fuck no, no.
Is this a crap movie? Because I've never heard of it.
I think so. But the fun here is a small-time movie studio that didn't have the money of the bigger ones started trying to do some of this copyright enforcement crap and accidentally let a judge actually look at the law as opposed to getting everyone to settle out of court, because that's always been the modus operandi of these complaint letters, that you can give us a couple $1,000s now or we're going to take your ass to court and get, you know, a couple $100,000s. So that's what they've always tried to do. But somebody actually managed to get it to court, and a judge got looking at it, and it's like, you know, you don't actually have a case here.
Yeah,
which is fantastic.
I don't pay for a static IP. Those cost extra money.
So, you know, you've got an IP address, but you have no evidence of infringement.
I'm going, even if they have evidence something of who was there, if it's just originally on the IP, those change up.
Yep.
Very few people keep static IPs.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, at least a judge finally saw the light, didn't have the wool pulled in front of his eyes.
the really nice thing about this case actually having a judgment passed on it and getting the motion dismissed.
It can be used in other cases.
Sets precedent, which means that the big time movie studios might not have as much of a leg to stand on.
Awesome.
With this, these blackmail tactics, which is essentially what they are.
Yeah.
So. You know, I'm trying to balance it out. I'd have one good story for the rest of these being mostly bad.
You saw a ray of hope just to completely not crush everyone's spirits.
You know, one good story to give you hope. Next story up is from Ars Technica. A software developer who willingly pays about $80 a year for the registration of two domains. Good God, $80 a year for two... Okay. Two domains was unwillingly opted in to another charge of $1,850, and it seems he's not alone. Brent Simmons received an email from Network Solutions Chief Security Officer Geoff Brinchall stating that he was being automatically enrolled in a new security program called WebLock. To help recapture the cost of maintaining the extra level of security for your account, your credit card will be billed $1,850 for the first year of service on the date your program goes live, according to the email, which Simmons posted on his blog. After that, you will be billed $1,350 every subsequent year from that date. If you wish to opt out of this program, you may do so by calling us and, you know, the phone number, 888-642-0265. I suggest calling it and pretending to be from Microsoft. You have virus on your computer. There was an update for the story. Web.com now says the program will be opt-in rather than opt-out, according to the domain name Wire, which said the email was sent to Simmons and 48 other customers. Web.com COO Jason Teichman said, every one of these customers is getting a call. It's not our intention to enroll anyone in a program they don't want. Web.com planned to roll out the program to 30,000 customers overall, but started by just notifying a few dozen so we can crawl our way into it. Simon says he's been a Network Solutions customer since 1997 and pays about $40 a year per domain for two domains. He pays them only for domain registration and not website hosting, he said. Oh, I see. That's why it's so expensive. He's had the same plan since 1997. I was going to say, you can get domains for like $5 a year if you go to the right sites.
Yep.
Anyways. I couldn't believe that I'd been opted in without my permission to any new product, and I was stunned when I saw how much it cost, he wrote. And further surprised when I saw that I would have to make a phone call to deal with all this. It wasn't just a typo or a mistake. When Simmons asked if the email was actually a slick phishing attempt, Network Solutions' verified Twitter account confirmed that it was real. After Simmons complained on Twitter, the company told him it was working to get you opted out. To that, one Twitter user responded, and what about the others like Brent Simmons presumably receiving the same message? This program needs to go away now. In any case, the $1,850 charge will likely never hit Simmons' credit card. He informed Network Solutions he's just going to transfer his domains. So, and there's another update. They spoke with the, when they spoke with web.com, which is apparently who Network Solutions was working with for this program, they said, oh, no, the program was never opt out. It was always going to be opt-in, always going to be opt-in. We didn't do that. But, they basically said, you're paying $80 a year. We're going to bill you an additional $2,000 because we think you need this security program. Literally buying, we've located your credit card number. We're buying things we think you need.
Wow.
I think he needs to buy me a plasma television.
Shady ass feelings. Good for him. At least he's transferred.
Yeah, at least
all
he got out of it. But didn't I just cover a story not too long ago about a guy in Canada who was doing all the free trials and would sign people up for all this other crap when they did the free trial, paid for the shipping?
Yes.
So
yeah, you did.
I mean, I'm just like, this is a registrar pulling the same damn scan. I mean, and that's, wow.
I think opt-out tactics should be illegal. You have to opt into a service.
I agree.
Definitely.
I don't think I had enough stories this week. We're probably going to end up blowing through it a little early. Oh, well, that's okay. Let's see. Next up, story up is from BGR.com. A unexpected side effect of the bring-your-own-device-to-work policy may be many companies are adapting is that it's smart device owners who either quit their jobs or are fired are finding that their former companies are wasting no time in wiping every last piece of data from their device. The Wall Street Journal reports that many users have been surprised to discover that their devices wiped to factory settings after having been terminated from their previous employers, who didn't even give them a proper warning that would have allowed them to save personal data. In many cases, companies have a BYOD policy that includes remote wiping as a solution to prevent to preserve company data. According to a July 2013 survey conducted by data protection firm Acronis, 21% of companies perform such wipes, even though the practice hangs in legal limbo, as legislation and case law are unable to keep pace with the innovation. Louis Motley, founder of the National Workright Institute, said that phone wiping is the most common complaint received in recent months by his organization. Philip Gordon, the co-chairman of the employment law firm Litter Meldison Privacy and Background Check Group, has heard from clients whose former employees complained after having their devices remotely wiped, even though they didn't press charges. Gordon expects legal remedies for affected ex-employees to be found under state computer trespass statutes, which were originally designed to prosecute hackers. One solution to preventing losing personal data during potential remote wipes would be to constantly back up a mobile device to a local computer or via the cloud, although such practice may still create data protection issues for employers who likely forbid employees from backing up any company data to other devices. Recent reports have indicated that the iPhone and iPad are among the most popular BYOD devices, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. Pretty much, a lot of companies are starting to say you can use your personal cell phone, your personal iPad, whatever at work, and it's usually done through Active Directory. They can send a remote wipe command to the device in case it's lost or stolen, but apparently they do that when you quit, too, to make sure you don't take any company data with you.
Sure.
The problem is it's not their device. It's your device. And
I
probably got a bunch of other
that.
Stuff on there, yeah.
It's you sign a chunk of your device over to your company when you hook it up to their network, in my opinion. I don't think they should be complaining at all. It's like you have work stuff on here. They're completely protecting their intellectual property or whatever you want to call it, security-wise. I don't see any problem with it.
So long you know that policy's in effect and it's going to happen,
well,
I would agree with you.
Yeah, I would think, I mean, they should be telling them this. It's like, we have the power to remotely wipe your device. You're hooking it up to our email server, our exchange, our servers. We're going to do this.
Okay. I honestly think bring your own device policies are dumb. I think it is a poor decision. It is lazy because, oh, well, our employees already have, you know, their own iPads, their own iPhones, you know, their own laptops. We'll just let them bring in their own equipment and we'll use it on our network. No, because now your data is floating around and things are being brought into your network that you do not own and you do not control.
Yep.
So bring your own device, I personally think, is a horrible idea. It's
right.
A horrible policy. It is not... It's lazy on the part of a company. It's like, well, why should we buy and manage all these devices? They've already got them. We'll just let them use their own. And there are people who, you know, want to be able to bring their own iPad in and do stuff on it. And that's the thing. If you want to bring your own device in, that's one thing. But you need to understand what's going to happen with it and that until you quit, that device is effectively the company's.
Yeah.
That's what their policies say.
Yeah.
You know, where I work, I deal with a lot of personal devices getting hooked into our network, and it's the nature of the beast. And, you know, I've gotten in some pretty heated arguments with people because it's like, you know, you're plugging into our network, you have to follow our rules. But at the same time, they're saying to me that, well, you can't tell me what to run on my personal device.
Correct. I can't. You can run it. You just won't have network access.
Correct. That's ultimately where the argument goes. But that's the point, is that I don't believe in a secured workplace environment, you should let any device you don't own on your network. I mean, go for registered MAC addresses or something. But and I know that's easy enough to defeat, but that's not – I'm not talking about how easy it is to get around this stuff. I'm just saying do something.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a good idea. I really don't. I know a lot of people do it because, you know, people buy toys and they want to be able to use them. And, you know, I mean, how many people – I get my work email on my personal phone. I do it. It's convenient. It's handy. And, yes, that means they can wipe my phone. I knew this going in. So sure. Anything I care about gets backed up. But I set that up as a convenience to me. So also, too, I know for a fact that where I work, they don't remote wipe people's phones unless they ask them to. So not that big of a deal. But also, too, what kind of company data are you letting float around on these mobile devices? 9 times out of 10, it's email, right?
Right.
Well, if email is so damned confidential, you probably – if your email is that sensitive, you probably don't want it being left on a device that somebody can lose under the chair at Starbucks and not notice it until they're halfway down the road.
Yep.
Or you know, something that is designed to float around between networks, because all of your company data is now floating around on any other network this person happens to carry that, you know, tablet to. Or that cell phone, for God's sake. Hell, there are stores that monitor the Wi-Fi interface on your cell phone to track you while you're shopping. You really want any random-ass store your employees walk into to potentially have access to your email? It's just dumb from a security standpoint.
So long as you're not planning to back up one of the busiest bridges in the world, what's the issue?
I shot Madman right across the bow and then into the dick. Not enough Chris Christie jokes going around these days. Yeah. Oh, hang on. Chris Christie's going around these days, isn't he? Fucking joke.
All right, well, that story's now dead.
Well, so long as the employees know what they're getting into, I don't see them having a complaint or a legal leg to stand on. You're signing your rights over.
Yeah.
But if I'm going into wherever with my cell phone and no one tells me I'm risking wiping my cell phone by walking into this building, I don't have backups of half my phone numbers. So a good chunk of the people I know, I wouldn't call anymore.
Well, here's the question. Let's say you did make good regular backups of the stuff on your phone. Oh, and they remote wiped it. Fine, load it right back on. I mean,
yeah, I still have all your emails.
So, again, that's why I really think that if you're dealing with secured information, BYOD is just dumb.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right. Next story up, and this is actually the last story I had for tonight, so I guess it is going to be kind of a short show. Yeah, we're only about 40 minutes in, and my digital dojo is pretty damn light tonight, too. This is hilarious. Remember, folks, if it's new, popular, and invisible, then you know what that is. That's right, it's a cancer-causing death ray inflicted by lazy-minded bureaucrats who willfully want to kill your children. Or Wi-Fi, as everybody else calls it. Apparently, now Wi-Fi causes cancer. And it's official, kind of. How do we know? Well, they said so on the internet. And some parents campaigning to have it banned have been getting emails from all over the world expressing concern about the dangers of Wi-Fi. So, go ahead. Let me copy this thing. I'm going to copy this URL right just to throw in I'm not that interested in the actual story itself, but this group is fucking hilarious. Oops, that is not. Well, if anybody wants to see the show notes, they just got copied into the fucking
IRC.
Yes, dealing with security.
That crush can read ahead. Funny. Oh, God, no.
Far enough in, I don't really care. Okay, anyways, the really fun part here is there's this schoolradiation.com, which is a parent group trying to get Wi-Fi banned in schools because it causes cancer.
It's awesome.
Didn't they know electricity causes cancer? Can
everything
ban that
causes
too?
Cancer. Okay, here's the fun part, though. Previous blah 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 blah. Evidence is clear: Wi-Fi poses no danger to health in schools or anywhere else. Despite this claim, where'd it go? I'm trying to skip ahead in the story. Oh, here it is. A school in damn it, I lost my place because we were laughing so hard at the stupid thing. Okay. As a result, and in no way, you know, with it being an alarmist reaction, a school in New Zealand has decided to remove Wi-Fi from junior classes and replace it with cable-based internet, you know, because electrical cables never hurt anyone. Wi-Fi is to remain in the senior classes, presumably because senior kids have tougher Wi-Fi cancer-resistant bodies, or they're just more dispensable. But anyways, the school conducted rigorous research into this policy, and they decided about, you know, where to extend the cancer prevention move, they did an opinion poll. So,
oh my brain, why do we let stupid people rule our lives?
So the school in New Zealand, I shouldn't click links when I'm trying to do stories. The school in New Zealand bans Wi-Fi for one classes. Because there's this schoolradiation.com, which promotes the idea that Wi-Fi causes cancer and should be banned from schools. So if you ever are just like, you know, fuck it, the world's insane, there's too much, you want a good laugh, just go to that website. And
you know. It's beautiful.
Wow. What are your people doing, are you? You fucking
fuck
New
off.
Zealanders, my God.
Got nothing to do with me, man.
So. Fucking weird.
That is great.
At least ban dihydrogen monoxide is a joke.
Oh, but I mean, there's actually, if you go to the school radiation, there's actually C4ST, Concerned Citizens for Safe Technology. At the helm of C4ST is a Canadian Wi-Fi warrior, Mr. Frank Clegg, former president of Microsoft Canada.
Wi-Fi warrior? Next time this is us, the Captain Wi-Fi Warrior.
I, you know, you look at this thing and you think, it's got to be a joke. Welcome to schoolradiation.com. This website strives to garner your attention to the gravest health concern for our children and their school environment. Please remove Wi-Fi, which is microwave radiation, from our school environments. And then they've got a video. I haven't watched the video yet, but I'm hoping it's something that we can clip out to use for an IHN intro.
I mean, it was just a pain, the pain of it all.
It looks like a conspiracy theory website. You know, the various font sizes, the red text.
Yeah, it can go right back to the 90s where it came from.
But another funny thing, at least in the story in your notes, ambient Wi-Fi is about 1% of the absorbable radiation from a cell phone that's switched on and happens to be anywhere near you.
Yeah.
I just got a message from a listener. You wouldn't download a cancer, would you? A tumor, that's it. This is too funny.
I'd download a tumor, man. And I'd download a car.
Oh, hold up. Downloadyourtumor.com. I want to know if that exists.
Give me 15 minutes and it will.
It's right up there with download more RAM. Which is real and is great fun to send stupid people to. So, all right, let's go. Let's do this. Yo! Hadouken! All right, what I have tonight is a game. It is not a networking tool or, you know, anything like that. It is a game. But its theme is so much fun. It's at superdupergc.com. I love the website name. Superdupercg.com. It's a Unity engine game. It's called Black Ice. Black Ice is a hack-and-shoot cyberpunk first-person shooter, hack-and-slash-RPG about hacking. It has nothing to do with actual hacking. It's a first-person shooter. But he describes it as, think Borderlands meets Tron. The cyber world is procedurally generated, the colors are neon, the loot is randomized, and the lasers are loud. Black Ice is currently in open beta with updates every Friday. And it kind of reminded me of the training levels from System Shock 2 at the very beginning, if anybody remembers that game, walking around the grid and all that other stuff. It also kind of looks like our first attempt at making an open sim grid ages ago. Because that it has that grid landscape that we tried to put in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see now. That's pretty cool.
It's kind of silly, but it's actually pretty fun. And it runs right in a web browser. So nice. You pretty much walk up to a building, which is a server. You know, you click the hack it button, and then you fight monsters until you're done hacking it, and you get a piece of loot and some XP. So, cool. And it's free. So, yeah, we did do a short show tonight. It's only 45 minutes. So, let's see.
Now more Dancing Monkeys.
Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise on Wednesdays. The Missing Dialogues on Tuesday. IHN on Saturdays. Let's Get Drunk tomorrow, in which I have more Heather beer and something which claims to be mead, but I'm pretty sure it's not, but it is still pretty good. So that'll be fun. Hit up the Galaxy 15 Radio site, the Twitter handle, the Galaxy 15 Radio Sim on OS Grid, the feedback forum, the subreddit, and if all else fails, TCP/IP via carrier pigeon. We have it on good authority that Big Brother will receive your carrier pigeons. He's hungry, so, you know, he needs something to eat, so send him your carrier pigeons with the TCP/IP written on them. So
tattooed onto the pigeon itself.
Well, you're not getting it back. So, I mean...
Wondering that's, how you tattoo a bird.
Yeah.
You have to pluck it first. It doesn't fly too well afterwards.
That's what I was just thinking.
At least for the first, I don't know, few months after you've plucked it the first time, and then it's kind of traumatized after that. So when it gets out of that coop, it's not coming back.
Well, that's all I've really got, and we've still got like 10 minutes on the clock here, so I don't know. Anybody got anything they want to bitch about before we close out?
Not bitch about, but I have a kind of a cool thing I found this week that has to do with hacking.
All right.
It's a comic called Hacktivist that came out yesterday, and it actually looks kind of cool. You guys might want to check it out.
Hacktivist. Synopsis, save yourself. Well, that's quite the synopsis there. From creative mind of Alyssa Milano, artist Marcus Toe, and writers Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, Hacktivist is a fast-paced cyber thriller about friendship and freedom in a time of war.
And did you just say Melissa Milano?
Yes,
I did.
Yeah, I'm out of it. Yeah, actually, supposedly she's like a... I said the same thing, and I was like, really? But apparently she's like an internet activist, freedom of speech person. So, I don't know. I'm going to check
it out. How exactly do you become an internet activist?
I think you put the label on yourself and start an internet radio station. Ah, damn it.
I thought you wore Guy Fawkes masks.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that could do it.
Wow.
Or with Alyssa Milano, flash your boobs.
Yes. That would also be acceptable.
Anyway, I'm going to read that comic.
I was just reminded something else that I could bitch about. Did you guys see Googlebot Nest?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that? Because like I was actually going to buy one of the thermostats, but now I'm kind of reconsidering because I don't need my thermostat to tell Google Plus, like, you know, Sard's going on vacation, he just lowered his temperature for a week, blah blah blah.
Well, that's the thing about Google, is everything has to get hooked into Google Plus at some point.
Yeah.
So, like, God knows nobody's going to use that social media platform for anything else unless they're forced to. So.
Yep. I don't know. I was really excited about it. It was going to be kind of like my first step into home automation, but now I'm kind of, I don't know if I really want to, because I hope they aren't totally retarded with it and make it do a bunch of stupid social media bullshit, like, you know, the temperature just went up outside. I'm going to turn up your, you know, turn on the AC for you at your house and, you know, post it to your fucking Google Plus or something like that. It's like, I don't need that shit. I just wanted some neat graphs, you know, to have it learn how I use the thermostat and whatnot. And it really did look cool, but now I'm, like I said, I'm kind of bummed.
Well, if you can get one, you know, that was produced before Google acquired them, it's probably okay. But they...
Yeah,
but,
you know, what if they, you know, discontinue support on them type thing now because there's the Google Plus Enhanced version, and you have to get moved to the Google Plus Enhanced version in order to, you know, use all these neat new features.
That's also true. That's also true. It's just, you know, they bought some robotics companies. I think they're trying to start Skynet, basically.
Yeah.
Awesome, so.
Anyways.
I have one looking forward to fighting alongside of the robot.
Yes. So. All right. I think that's all we got. I've already read all the promotions. I think I'm just going to hit play on this music here and call it a night.